welcome to Cruisin' for a Reviewsin', the podcast where I get a friend to watch a Tom Cruise movie they've never seen before and then review it with me. I'm your host, Cara Westworth, and today I'm joined by my lovely friend, Heather.
Hello!
Hi. Thank you for coming, Heather.
No worries.
Well, we have chosen the film Oblivion to review this week. Mm-hmm. So we basically had a choice of a few movies because you haven't seen quite a few Tom Cruise movies.
A lot of Tom Cruise movies.
Right. So we got down to Oblivion and Valkyrie.
Yes.
And we decided that sci-fi was the way to go.
Yeah, because that interests me more.
Yep. And also, I haven't done any sci-fi yet, so.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So first things first, Heather. What did you think of Oblivion?
I liked some things about it and found other things very irritating. I loved how it looked.
Yes.
Like the design of the spaceships, the design of the weaponry, the clothing, the costume design. I thought it all looked really cool. Actually, it reminded me of, it's been a long time since I've played Warhammer, but there was a race in Warhammer called the Tau, I think. And just the look of their weaponry and mecha.
So like a future,
Yeah, kind of futuristic alien-y thing. And they also had like a kind of more primitive race that they had fighting for them, mm-hmm. like ground soldiers, basically. And that also reminded me of the, what were they called? The scavengers in this.
Scavs.
Yeah. Like the look of those as well. Like it just reminded me of this Warhammer race.
You wonder if there was any influence. So the movie is based off a unpublished graphic novel. It's actually was written by the director Joseph Kosinski, who is directing the new Top Gun movie.
Oh, he's got a bit of a Tom Cruise thing, huh?
Yeah, he does. I guess. Not just me after all. Okay, so Oblivion is from 2013 and it is a post-apocalyptic type sci-fi movie. Basically, in 2017, some mean old aliens came down, blasted the shit out of our moon, which obviously threw things into chaos. It's set 60 years after that. So Earth is destroyed. We engage in war with this alien race.
Yeah.
We won, but Earth
was destroyed.
Yeah. Just in a really bad way. Like lots of radiation zones and...
And like the effect of the moon getting blown up caused like tidal waves and...
I think it was like earthquakes and then...
Tsunamis?
Yeah.
So
Earth is fucked.
Yeah.
And... There now is these two people who live in this weird futuristic apartment on a big stick.
Yeah, like up in the sky.
Yeah, right up in the sky with a pool. Like my first thought is, who is cleaning that pool? Like where are they getting chlorine? Is that really a necessary purchase?
Well, does algae grow up there and that high up?
Yeah. And who wants to swim up in bloody clouds?
They did.
Yeah. They did. Wink, wink. That is alluding to they have sex in a pool at one point. So they seem to be like a tech and a communications person.
Yeah.
Who they talk to Sally, who is based just above the Earth's atmosphere in this weird pyramid-shaped spaceship called Tet.
Yeah.
Their job is to look after all of the drones on Earth. Mm-hmm. I think they're basically hydro stations that are taking all the water.
Yeah.
From Earth, and then Tet will go to the moon on Saturn.
Titan,
yep.
Yeah.
And that's where humans live now. Yep. I feel like there's probably somewhere closer for...
Maybe.
It's like a long way away, doesn't it?
Like, wasn't Mars supposed to be fairly...
Yeah, isn't Mars going to be like a...
Anyway, whatever.
I don't understand space, so... So they, look after these drones that go around. So the scavs, the aliens who were defeated in war, there's still a few left on Earth and they're trying to fuck their shit up all the time.
Yeah.
Blowing up the one, like at one point they blow up one of the hydro station things.
Yeah. And they attack the drones.
And they attack the drones as well a lot. So Tom Cruise is Jack and he goes and fixes the drones while his partner, whose name I've immediately forgotten, not Julia.
Something
I fucking spoiled that.
like
Riker.
Victoria. Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Vika. She's communication. So she talks with Sally, who is this very Southern American woman with a very nice drawl.
Mm.
She communicates with them. You see like a little video of her, but she's up on Tet apparently.
Yeah.
And she's basically telling what to do. They have like limited amount of time that they can communicate because I guess
it goes out of like
range.
Out of communication range because of the orbit of the Earth, I think.
The
turning of the Earth means they go out of alignment and they can't see the Tet anymore.
Yeah.
So they can't communicate with it.
So they try and get as much done while they have communications. Otherwise, they can't really see what's going on. And Vika never leaves her weird sky home.
Yeah, she's like the eye in the sky for Tom Cruise's character. So she's got like, she can see like a Google Maps down, Google Earth view of Earth. She can sort of see if anyone's sneaking up on him. She can see where all the drones are in their like zone. And then, yeah, she relays information back to the Tet and they relay instructions back to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. So, fun things that we find out along the way, they've had their memories wiped. Mm. And it kind of, they kind of say it's because if their memories got into the wrong hands,
it could give away information to the enemy.
Which doesn't make any sense. Like, shouldn't they just give them a cyanide pill if they get caught? Like, I don't know. The future is a different place, I suppose. So they don't remember anything. However, Jack has lots of recurring memories about seeing a very beautiful...
His dreams. Seem like maybe they're actually maybe their memories.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's of a beautiful brunette woman and they are on the Empire State Building and it's all very dreamy and beautiful. And he obviously thinks about it a lot. And yeah, we're left wondering, who is this woman? Which we find out kind of soonish. So basically one day something crashes from the sky just after Jack has been very naughtily hanging out in his ground-based home. So he's put together a little home.
I called it his equilibrium room. Yep. Because like in equilibrium there's the room of all the like contraband memories of the past, the records and the books and things. And that's kind of what he has as yep. well, like a little collection of mementos of Earth's past.
Which actually when I was watching it this time, I mean they're not allowed to have all these items that humans had yeah. in 2017 and before, which he has, but the way they talk about it, like there's no way Earth humans can inhabit the Earth, but he has found this lush green oasis and he's like, he drinks the water and there's a fish that he talks to swimming in the water.
Yeah.
So I wonder why he wasn't questioning it before all this stuff sort of happens, because
I mean, he was though.
He was, but he was also, I don't know. Well, why hadn't he told
Vika that he said in the intro something about like Vika doesn't ask the questions. Like I ask questions. Yeah. She doesn't want to know. She just wants to do their job, you know, complete the mission.
Yeah, I guess so. So he's just keeping these questions to himself because she doesn't want to know, and she can pass. I guess she just keeps shutting him down.
Yeah, I made a note of the fact that he kind of ignores her a lot.
Yeah.
Like he sort of pretends he can't hear her. He sort of turns off his little communication device. But even when she's talking to him, he just starts telling her stories and she keeps trying to get things back on track and he just kind of ignores her and keeps yeah. going. And I was like, that's kind of rude, dude.
But also we established pretty early on what a boring life those poor people lead. Like,
yes. Like they sort of set it up like, this is our idyllic life. Here's me getting up and making breakfast with this wonderful woman.
And I run in like a hamster wheel.
Yeah. She does yoga, of course, because she's a woman. So she has to do something.
She's a white woman.
She has to do something bendy. And they eat breakfast together and he kisses her on the cheek and he makes all these little comments about another day in paradise, and he talks to his little bobblehead inside his thing, and I just was like, oh, shut up. You're so annoying. This is the most bland thing.
Well, it's like, what else do you have to do? Like, I guess if you have no memories and it's you like, live in this weird stick in the sky, like, yeah. I guess you would become a kind of boring, predictable.
I found it weird as well that, like, they're sort of getting up in the morning and getting ready for work, I guess.
Mm.
But she gets quite dressed up. She's in a very nice sort of form-fitting outfit.
Corporate.
Yeah, corporate. She's got like this metal belt around her waist. But she wears like stilettos to go upstairs to the communications room and like pins her hair back really neatly. I'm like, why is that necessary? Why does she have to wear heels
yeah.
in this space future where she's just going upstairs?
It is kind of weird. I'm only thinking I can assume, like, is she just trying to create a routine? I don't know. Now we're starting to get as boring as the characters.
Why does this woman still have to wear these uncomfortable shoes this future?
Why isn't she wearing her standard issue grey track pants?
Yeah, and like he's got practical fluffy clothes. Slippers
yeah. And, yeah, there's a sexist double standard. Don't like it. So basically, the crux of the story lies in a space thing. A thing from space crashes down. He goes to investigate. He's warned not to because the drones will check it out. And he defies everyone and goes and has a little, cups a little squiz anyway. And it's actually like a, he identifies as a pre-war space vessel.
Yeah.
And he finds all these sleeping pods with humans in them.
Mm-hmm. Within and they've it. Survived.
They've
the crash.
Survived. However, one of the drones, which is our friend number 166.
Yeah.
Who's a real fucking prick.
Yeah, he keeps popping up.
And messing people's shit up. he comes and he scans. So they're, these drones are meant to not harm humans. Mm. Just these scavs, but it scans the thing and sees it's a human and blasts the shit out of it.
Yep.
Which Jack's like, whoa, why? Mm. So he manages to save one. And when he looks inside this pod, he's like, holy shit, it's a girl from my dreams.
Uh-oh.
Literally.
How could this be?
So he manages to rescue her. He takes this pod back to the home. And Vika is a little bit jelly.
Yeah, she doesn't want to open the door because he's brought this other girl home.
He's brought this harlot home. He's going to steal her man.
This unconscious inner capsule harlot.
Yeah, so that's kind of throws into disarray for them. And what happens next?
But they wake her up.
Yep, she has a little spew.
Yeah, because she's had some breathing gel or whatever.
I don't know.
And she says his name. So she recognizes him.
Yeah.
And she's so, like, Jack. And then she falls back unconscious
so
again.
So he's like, oh, cool. So maybe there's more to my dreams than just dreaming of sexy brunette ladies on a big building.
It's not just in his head. She's sort of acknowledged that there's a prior relationship.
Yep.
And Vicky, what is her name again?
I keep calling it Vika. I don't know if it's Vika or Vika.
Yeah, but she sort of doesn't seem to recognize this woman at all.
No.
There's no sort of recognition from the woman towards her either. Like, it just seems like Jack is the, yes. the thing. And then when she wakes up later, they sort of have dinner together.
Oh, yeah. So did she go back to sleep? I don't know. Anyway, I can't remember now. Something happens. they have dinner together and Julia is very insistent on getting back the...
Oh, the flight recorder, like the black
recorder,
box.
The black box, yeah. Which I guess if you manned a spaceship and you crashed, landed, that would probably be a very important thing to get. Mm-hmm. Vika's kind of reluctant because it's nighttime.
Oh, that's right. They break to her that she was in an accident and all the other crew were killed.
Yes.
And there's been a war and we won the war, but the Earth's fucked. Like, she gets to find all that stuff out.
And she laughs.
Yeah, she sort of laughed like a crazy person.
She's like, this is, well, I mean, it sounds kind of insane, I guess. Like, yeah. You've been asleep, then you're like, oh, everything's ruined. Remember everything from before you went to sleep? Well, it's fucked now.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe laughing is a genuine sort of reaction. So she convinces him that they need to go get this flight recorder, and they sneak out, and it's nighttime, so they're a bit wary of scavs coming to get them. And they go and get the flight recorder. But what happens?
Without telling Vika that they were going snuck out while she was asleep.
So the scavs capture them. And instead of killing them as they kind of assumed they would, they capture them.
Yeah.
And take them to their headquarters. And guess what, everyone? They are not aliens. Human beings.
No way.
Wow. Who would have thought? So they are human beings who survived the war, and they start revealing, they don't really reveal a lot of the truth.
No.
But because Jack's like, y'all are crazy.
Yeah.
Get me out of here.
He's also, you won't get any information out of me. I've had my brain wiped.
And yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah, we know, dude.
So then they basically tell him, hey, we really need you to help us out, blow up the Tet. Otherwise, we're all doomed. And I don't know, without context, I'd be like, well, I'm not going to blow up the space station full of humans,
yeah.
like, just because you say I need to. So I kind of get it. So they actually let him go so that he can go find out for himself what the truth is.
Yeah, he sort of says something about you should go into the radiation zone.
Yeah.
Like, I've been in the radiation zone, and sort of it's fine. Lets him ride off on a motorcycle with his new capsule girlfriend.
Yeah. So they leave together, thinking that those guys are kind of crazy, but they head towards the Empire State Building, and suddenly Jack starts remembering more things, and Julie reveals that he actually proposed to her in the spot that they're standing, and lo and behold, they're married.
Yeah.
Which Heather called like seconds before.
Yeah.
it was good.
I was finding the dialogue very kind of cheesy and predictable.
It was a very much a stock standard kind
yeah.
of post-apocalyptic sci-fi kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. And but there was parts where the reveal, like, I was like, I'm your wife. And then she immediately went, I am your wife. Like, exactly the same wording.
Yes, I imagine that's maybe why the graphic novel didn't come out, because everyone's like, that was real predictable. So now he's like, oh, my God, I remember. Yes, we are married, and everything that I thought I knew is absolutely not true.
Mm-hmm.
So they continue to go exploring. They go back to the tower. Yeah,
while they were at the Empire State Building, he, like, as soon as he gets there, he's like, oh, I need to contact Vika. And so he, like, sends her a little coded message. So she sends down a ship to go for him, pick him up.
Yes.
So while they're discovering that she's his wife and there's the flashback, Vika's sent this ship down to pick him up, and the ship arrives as they're kind of like,
yeah, holding, like, embracing.
Hands. Yeah. So she gets to witness from the camera on the front of the spaceship that something's going on between these two.
Some love eyes happening over there.
Yes. She gets very jealous.
Which I guess she would. Like, he is all she had.
Yeah.
For, I don't know, how long were we on there?
Who knows?
But so, I mean, I'd probably be mad jelly too if my handsome partner was suddenly making out with some new space pod girl.
Yeah. So he brought the space pod harlot home, and then he runs away back down to Earth, and then she gets to see him cuddling the space pod harlot.
In, like, the most romantic place on Earth. My God. So
I really like space pod harlot.
So Vika refuses to let them. So when she's like, she sends the ship back, and they come back, and when they land, she, like, stands at the glass door and is like, no, I'm not letting you in. Instead of letting them in, she contacts Sally on Tet to say, we are no longer an effective team, which is code for you need to shoot the shit out of us now. So there's a dormant drone in the house, and it becomes activated, and it comes up and shoots and turns, vaporizes.
Yeah, vaporizes Vika.
Like, real bad. Jack escapes just in time because his now wife blasts the shit out of it, and they get out of there.
Yeah.
So they continue. They're trying to work out what to do, and they've realized, like, Jack's realized everything he knew was basically a lie. He doesn't really know the truth yet, but he's realized everything was not as it seemed.
Yeah.
So as they're flying along, Sally has sent out drones to get them.
Sally also, when she activates that drone to shoot Vika, they have a little bit of a moment with Jack because, oh God, what's her name? Julie shoots that drone.
Yes.
And deactivates it. But they're still on that capsule in the sky. They're still in the space apartment. And Sally sort of is like, hey, Jack, oh, the drone malfunctioned. Whoops. You should come up to Tet and bring the survivor with you.
We'd love to see the survivor.
And they, like, just stare at her and then run away. No.
Yeah, and goodbye.
Yeah.
So they zoom off trying to work out what to do, and old mate 166 drone comes and
166.
They have, like, a really good, like, pod racer style fight, which was pretty grouse.
Yeah, that was cool.
They zoom around and they get knocked out of the sky, and they accidentally fall into the radiation zone, even though you think by now they'd be like, oh, the radiation zone mustn't be what we think it is, but they still panic that they're going to die. They blast down into the sand, and they're like, oh, we're okay. So maybe this is more things unfolding that are lies.
Yeah. But he sees some smoke over the sand dune.
Yes, sees some smoke over the sand dune, and they go and investigate. And there appears to be some other tech, I guess, over in the distance.
Trying to fix 166.
166. And I don't know, if you've ever seen a sci-fi movie, perhaps you know where this is going. It is another Jack.
What?
Which, for the record, is a good sexy time, because they have a fight, and it's two Tom Cruises fighting each other, and mwah.
It's all grappling too. Yeah, rolling around on the ground, grappling each other.
In their sexy white leather suits. Yeah, anyway, it's a really good time. So he knocks out the other tower. So Jack is tech 449, and this was tech 52, which he's kind of like, oh shit, there's probably like
more
50 others. Yeah, how exciting. And but in the meantime, poor old Julia has been shot in the stomach.
Yeah, so he realizes that all the equipment the other tech had, he can use. He, like, jumps in the spaceship and he's like, it's me, Jack, tech 52, and it just activates. So it recognizes his voice, and he flies up to
He flies up to Tech 52's house.
Yeah, which is like exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
Except it's yellow instead of blue.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, like his spacesuit has his number on it and the number is in blue.
Yeah.
And the sort of the little tiny bits of color, because there's not much color, in his apartment is more blue toned, I think. Ah. And then the other tech, his number on his suit is yellow. And then when he goes up to his sky apartment, the coloring in there is yellow too.
Oh, I didn't notice that. That's a nice little subtle.
I'm a visual person.
Yes, you are. So he goes up and he's like, I'm going to go get the med kit.
Mm-hmm.
And he encounters the other Fika, Vika.
Yeah.
And
so it's not just him. It's also her.
Yeah. He's kind of like, cool. There's not just me cloned. It's obviously her as well. What the fuck's going on?
And he has a conversation with her that he had a conversation with the first one earlier.
Yeah, because we kind of were discussing, like, is Tech Jack 49 the only one who kind of questions things?
Yeah.
But it's kind of implied that he has questioned more than anyone, but also Tech 52 has asked her to come down to the surface with him and see something. And she's like, please, I don't want this conversation again.
Yeah.
So
there are parallels. It's not like he's the one rebel. Like, they've all got a rebel streak or whatever. Well, but
most of them probably do, yeah.
He just perhaps had the opportunity to take it a little bit further because of where he was stationed or the circumstances.
Well, because we figure they've all got their special zones. That's why then the next zone is a radiation zone. So, you know, he seemed to have Manhattan because he goes into the New York State Library and, you know, Empire State Building. So obviously if you're being able to find all the cool shit that's in fucking Manhattan, then you're going to have your interest a little bit more, I guess. That's what. If you're
the other guy's zone, just
looking after Queens, that looks like a fucking desert. Like, you know, nothing's going to stimulate you into questioning things, I guess.
Yeah,
that was my takeaway.
But there'd been something. There'd been something that had made him like, hey, you should come down to Earth
with me. Or did he have his own little oasis somewhere?
True.
Like maybe a little sand oasis.
Maybe instead of having a whole cabin of contraband, he just had like a little
shack,
a little box with. With some shells in it and a
like an old Nike
an old box. Birthday card.
And like some dominoes or something.
And some Coles minis.
So good, he opens his box and Coles minis. sweet. Oh, my goodness.
And he's like, you don't understand how beautiful it is.
It's like a tiny jar of beans.
Look at this tiny jar of beans. How did they eat this?
These tiny eclipse beans.
I can't even get it open.
Anyway, we're getting too carried away with this.
sorry.
It adds water and it expands. So he goes back to his wife and has a med kit this time and fixes her up and takes her to his little oasis.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's where they have a little shag there. It's very, very lightly implied.
It's very, like, I missed it. But there was obviously some, oh, I've been hurt and you saved me.
Also,
thank you.
I can't wait for that technology where I'm like, I've been shot in the guts and it's like, zap, zap, zap. It's sorted now. I'm like, sweet.
It was painful. She did scream.
Oh, she did scream. Yeah.
But it still obviously stopped her from dying.
Yes, and then they shagged, so must have done a really good job.
Real good. I was literally bleeding to death, but now I am horny.
Nothing gives you the horn more than near death experience, man.
Plug me up.
Oh no.
You are free to cut that.
Never.
So he plugged her up.
He plugged her up in two ways. So they go back to the scavenger base?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's when he's like,
we've had a bit of recoup time.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they go back and All Mate Leader, who is Morgan Freeman, he's like, I wasn't sure if you're coming back. And also Jaime Lannister is there and he's like, I had to go prove Jaime Lannister wrong.
Oh yes, his number one man is Jaime Lannister.
And
which
let me tell you, my eyes are having a great time in this movie. Lots of handsome boys. So they go back and they actually explain what's actually happened. So it was basically
more exposition, like
just it was aliens, and aliens captured two astronauts, which happened to be Jack.
Yeah, we'd also had, I'm not sure when this reveal was, but Julie sort of explained that she had been on the same mission as him.
Yeah, so there was like a space mission and they encountered aliens. He blasted off.
But the alien was the alien yes. technology. Like they were like heading off to Titan to check it out. Was it Titan?
Yeah, I think they were going to Titan.
So they were just on their way to Titan to do some kind of research mission. And then that Tet thing showed up and they were like, oh, change of mission. Go check out this alien thing. And then in the process got separated.
So he actually let go of the rest of the crew who were in the sleeping pods. And he and Vika, fuck, I wish we'd remember what her name was. Yeah. Victoria.
I think it's Victoria.
They're Frederick and Victoria.
So it must be. But he also calls it, yeah, okay, fine, whatever. yeah, so
they're they're like the two captains, I guess. Yeah. And the rest of the crew, they actually let go because it will automatically go back to Earth.
Mm.
So it's just the two. When they realize they're in a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
They go in there. So
he's aware of the fact that the Tet is actually
like a hostile.
Yeah.
Alien.
And Morgan Freeman goes into how they plan to attack it and how they're going to use the fact that Jack is by the drones considered a safe human, not a human to kill, that he can then control the drone, which they can't do because as soon as it sees them, the drone shoots them. But they'll use that drone
to take up
as a weapon.
Some bloody big bombs to fuck that shit up, weapon Tet, which is just a jolly good time. Very good plan, I thought. Except as they are getting ready to sort of initiate this plan, some drones are like, hey, we found you, and just shoot the shit out of their headquarters.
Of course.
Which is really sad because it's like, what? 50, 60 years of planning,
yeah,
I guess, and it's all like pew, 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 and not much left, which is very sad. The leader of the human resistance, Morgan Freeman's character, is very badly wounded.
Yes.
And he's like, God damn it, the goddamn our stolen bloody
nuclear weapon or whatever it was.
Our potty boy can't go up there and we're boned. But obviously Tom Cruise wouldn't be in a movie where he's not going to be the goddamn hero.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big plan hatched to go up there, and they kind of trick us into thinking he's going to go up with Julia.
Yeah, because earlier on Sally had been like, hey, bring the survivor back. They're like, oh, we can pretend that that's what's happening, that I'm just returning as requested with the survivor.
But he does a big switcheroo.
Yeah.
And actually her pod ends up back at the oasis, his little oasis.
Yeah.
And he takes up Morgan Freeman, and Sally's like, oh, I'm real mad at you. Like her southern accent. I'm surprised she kept the southern accent up a little bit. Like
it sort of was quite robotic, and more robotic.
Yeah.
Towards the end, like it sort of dropped the sort of human over voice.
They don't speak English, so yeah. I guess their only context is her voice. Like,
because they were used, because we got to see Jack listened to the black box recorder, so he sort of found out what happened on the original mission. And the original Sally was
actually the person down and like
on Earth, like on from Earth, NASA.
Houston, yeah.
So she was like the NASA lady that was communicating with them. So they've taken her voice from the radio waves or when the attack first happened to use back against him or to manipulate him or whatever.
Exactly.
But yeah, as the movie goes on, the Sally voice becomes more and more like two voices.
Yeah.
And the robotic side gets stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty cool effect.
It's creepy.
It's nice and creepy. Yeah. So when they're actually going up there with their plan to blow the shit out of Tet, we get to see how many clones of Jack and Vika there are. And there are heaps and heaps.
So many.
And for some reason, it looks like they're sitting on the toilet. They're floating in their little windows.
Yes, you pointed out they're in the fetal position. But I was like, why is he pooping?
But like millions of naked Tom Cruises.
Yes.
It's wonderful. And like they show him heaps.
Yeah.
And they just show her like her a little bit. And yeah. Like, we know what we're here to see. It's naked barrelfuls of naked Tom Cruise. Yeah. And so he sacrifices himself and they go kablam and blow the hell out of Tet. And meanwhile, Julie's on the ground going, oh, fuck. I just finally reconnected with my fucking husband and now he's blown himself up. What a cool dude.
I mean, she had offered herself up on a suicide mission to do it. And then finding out, oh, not only am I not dead, but
also my partner is. Jack was also like, there's like a bunch of us, hey.
Yeah.
Like, you just got to get one of
he's
those.
He's like, I'm not really the
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, he
it turns
that,
out. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of a story. And then at the end, it's 3 years in the future and that bone session they had, that plug-up session they had.
That one time lucky.
Lucky you got ovulating, girl. They produce a tiny child that looks just like Suri Cruz. And yeah, and they other humans rediscover her. And then Jack, number 52.
Yeah, so he survived.
Yeah, he not only survived. Oh, yeah, because when he went back to pick her up after she'd been shot.
Yeah.
Jack 52 had actually was missing.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. I didn't.
Yeah.
Right. And because he had seen that there was, so he had been woken up to the fact that he was a clone, and he'd also seen Julia, and he had the same memories, so he was triggered into being like, oh, my wife is real. So he went on the same journey emotionally.
Yeah, but I guess it took him 3 years to until he found her, which is a lot. And he's like, I guess that's my daughter, this woman I've actually really only met once before.
Which she seemed totally cool with.
Yeah, it was quite a sweet ending, I thought. Mm. I don't know, most people probably think that's a bit too sickening, but I'm like,
cheesy.
Tom Cruise has got sad eyes. It's so nice.
See, that doesn't work on me.
It worked at me. Oh my god. Okay, so now that we've gone through the whole plot, we can talk about Tom Cruise-isms. Not as much running in this movie as I would have expected from an action-y.
No.
Like, there's early on, there's him running in literally a hamster wheel.
Yes.
And he does a little bit of running. Oh, what about that scene? His thing he did in this is more flying through the air.
Yeah. And like some of that was because he was in space, but some of it was like leaping away from explosions.
Oh, so
and
when
things.
There's a part where he's trying to find a downed drone and it's in this like what he thinks is a sinkhole. But what it actually is a sinkhole, but down into the New York State Library.
Yeah, it's like buried.
He rappels down there and scavs are down there and all hell breaks loose. And like he does this huge big flying leap over a big crevice, which is really cool. But then as he's...
And hangs from the cliff edge.
So he's hanging there. Yeah, so cool. And then he tries to rappel, like get back up, and the rope, you see, is on a rock and it slices through, and there's like an awesome slow motion of him like falling backwards.
That was very Tom Cruise-y.
Oh, he's so hot in that moment. Yeah, I spent a lot of time disgusting Heather with him. I'm like, fuck, he's hot. Look at him. He's just putting his arms up and I can see his armpits. Wow.
So I've come into this as someone who finds Tom Cruise really irritating. The perfect guest on your Tom Cruise podcast is someone who is like, oh, shut up, Tom Cruise.
But also you're a film fan. That's why I asked you. So, true. Like, yeah.
And it's not like I...
enough to...
Yeah. I'm not automatically will hate everything just because he's in it.
Yes.
I just will be...
Just a bit more critical.
Yeah. I will be like, ugh.
It's a nice balance is that you're like, and I'm like, wow, you can do no wrong. Put your arm up so I can see your armpit, you sexy man. Whoa, there's hundreds of naked Tom Cruises. He's fighting himself. How sexy. So yeah, it's a nice balance between.
And I'm just like, shut up with your face, Tom Cruise. Put your stupid face away.
I think it's beautiful. I think,
stop being so face all the time. We could see like every pore of his skin. There was a lot of shots that were like quite close to his face during this as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not complaining. I look at his eyes, beautiful eyes, since I'm not so much his paws.
I haven't been brainwashed and hypnotized by his
I don't recommend
eyes.
It. Like, I now can't watch a Tom Cruise movie being like the whole way through. So, it's actually, I have to rewatch movies like a few times because I'm like, oh, I spent too much time just watching him, like, fucking love struck schoolgirl. So
I see that's one of the things about him that irritates me is that I feel like in every movie he's always Tom Cruise. He's always being Tom Cruise in a movie, and
yeah, okay,
less
he's like good at adapting to his.
Like I feel like the characters are still like he's Tom Cruise in this situation. He's not so much the character in this world.
No, that's even when I didn't care for Tom Cruise, I always thought like he always like committed fully to his role. But then maybe you haven't seen the movies where he's been like a bit of a douchebag.
Maybe not, because that's right. I haven't seen all.
So, like when he's being like the real good guy, yeah. He's Tom Cruise's.
He's always
self.
A hero. He's always dashing.
Have you seen War of the Worlds?
No.
Okay.
My favorite ones of his that I have seen that I've liked was The Minority Report. I like him in Interview with a Vampire.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, one of the reasons I like him in that is because I feel like he's not Tom Cruise in that.
He's not
I feel
Tom
like
Cruise
he is the character much more than he is Tom Cruise.
Yes.
And I quite like Collateral as well.
Oh, my God. I love that movie so much. So when he's playing more of a bad guy, like he does a really good job of like suddenly like all the appeal that Tom Cruise has.
Yeah, when he's not trying to be dashing
and
a hero and wonderful and saving the planet all the time and saving everyone and doing inhuman feats. Like, when he's not trying to be Tom Cruise, like the idealized Tom Cruise, that's when I find him interesting.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Mm. I actually do get that now that you've said that, but I also can't see past. So I'm fucking useless. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, now that we've, I guess, dissected the movie, other Tom Cruise-isms, I guess.
Like he runs, he jumps.
He
what
runs,
else does he,
jumps. He
do?
He probably did a bunch of his own stunts. He rode a motorcycle, which is something Tom Cruise loves to do. He flies things so he can fly a lot of things. So
true.
He looks very good at flying a spaceship and a helicopter type thing because he can fucking fly both of those things. Well, not spaceship. Not yet. He hasn't learned how to fly a spaceship yet.
Give it time.
He's airplanes, helicopters, fighter jets.
I'm sure the Church of Scientology are building him special Tom Cruise-only space vehicles as we speak.
That'd be so sweet. Can't wait to ride me one of those. Infiltrate.
The spaceship? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
ride
it? Anyway, let's rate this movie. I really like it. I'm going to give it a sound 4 cursed 166 droney guys out of a possible 5. How about you?
I think I'll give it... I enjoyed it, but I also found it quite cheesy and predictable in a lot of ways. The romance stuff I found really kind of dragged.
I think it takes it down a bit for me.
Yeah, the world building, the hat was really great. The design of everything was really great. Like there was stuff I liked. So I'm going to say 3.5. Oh, what am I going to use as my like rating system? 3.5 space pod harlots out of 5.
Wonderful. That's really good. I'm really into this reviewing system. So if you're into sci-fi and you don't mind Tom Cruise being very Tom Cruisey, then I personally highly recommend this film, and I feel like you recommend it.
It's fun.
Quite soundly. Yeah.
It's fun.
It's fun. And it's much better than the, we're talking about After Earth, which was like the Will Smith.
Yeah, the Jaden Smith, Will Smith one.
Which was released at a very similar time, I'm pretty sure, which I love Will Smith a lot, and it was just not very good. So
He's also someone that tends to always be Will Smith in his roles.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Yeah. But I haven't actually seen After Earth. Was that similar?
I can't remember. It was a little bit of a forgettable film. Like I saw both of the movies and I was like, yep, Oblivion was definitely my pick of the two. So
yeah, no, I thought Oblivion was fun. I just am not the biggest Tom Cruise person.
I'll convert you.
Well, you're working on it. I like that more than I expected to.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'll just make you watch Lestat and Interview with the Vampire a million times.
Oh, look. I mean, that wins me over completely.
God, he's hot as a stat. Anyway, that's enough of that. Heather, if people want to look you up on the internet, where can they find you?
Sure. I make art and things under the name Hacklock. So if you go on Instagram, Hacklock, HACKLOCK. I also have a little show on a digital radio station called Zed Digital called Art Cut. You can stream that online too.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming out and watching this movie and eating too much popcorn with me.
Yay! That was the best bit.
Yeah. And thank you very much, and you know, sending my dogs into a tizzy because apparently you're their new best friend.
I'm so popular.
They're currently locked out in the garage because they wouldn't leave us alone. Poor things. So, thank you so much for coming, and thank you everyone for listening.
Yay!